Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
That would be seven positions up from where they finished last year.
We'd all love to live in a world where Bournemouth finished fourth and Manchester United win the league.
So in 17th place, outrageously.
This stinks.
I don't know you're all thinking, that's crazy. How can you say that a team that finished 15th in the league is going to go on to win it? Well, let me explain.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast. We're back again. It's me, Cormac, with my co-host, Taylor Speak.
Hola, everybody.
In the room.
We have that much chemistry, as you can probably tell. It's been beautiful. Taylor, how are we?
I'm good, thank you, Cormac. It's been a busy week in the world of football again. Really excited to get into the mix of it all. How have you been?
Very well, very well. Exciting news in terms of just everything football,
everything.
I think. Pre-season's well and truly finished, I want to say now. There's a few more games.
A few more games. Manchester United definitely have another game.
Another 2:30
wake-up. Games, actually.
Another 2:30 wake-up for you.
Yeah, well, 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Sunday night.
Sunday night. That's depressing. No one wants to watch Man United at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Watch me.
Okay. But today, as you can probably tell, today's episode, we are going to be running through our Premier League 25-26 predictions, 1 through 20. And we're also going to do a little AI chatbot prediction as well, see what AI thinks is going to be the turnout, because AI is all the rage these days. So we want to see the turnout of that and also our brains, which I would argue, I don't think we're going to get one wrong. I'm that confident.
I'm adamant that mine is going to be 100% correct and prove that AI is just a naff creation by people who have too much time on their hands. We're going to prove that the AI has no idea what it's talking about and that we are the infinitely more knowledgeable folk of the football world compared to the supercomputer that's going to figure this out.
Man United top of the league incoming, so brace yourselves for that. But first, like we've already mentioned, we've got a few bits and bobs to kind of cover off this last week. The most interesting by far, which we touched on last time, Isak, Newcastle, is he going to Liverpool? Taylor, what has happened in Isak's world this last week?
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, Newcastle fans.
Do you remember, by the way, we got a comment on about episode 5 we did, which I want to say was in like March time, where basically we were like, Isak's off in the summer. Lol, funny, whatever, what have you. So Newcastle fan, bear in mind we get like 40 views an episode. So Newcastle fan wrote that fat paragraph saying, I hope it burns you that Newcastle are going to do really well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if this guy's still watching or what have you, but...
Come for us now, brother.
Yeah, it looks like he's on his way out, man.
I've been I've been of a huge thought this whole time that he was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And we got, like, say, burnt for it in our comment sections. But now I'm very happy to bring the update that it does look like Isak is leaving Newcastle. He has told the club he wants to leave. In fact, he has been so sure of the thought that he wants to leave, he has been training at his old club, Real Sociedad's training facilities, this past week, because he didn't join the tour for Newcastle up in the...
Somewhere in Asia.
So he didn't join the tour. He went and trained individually at his old club's ground, and he's been trying to force this move. Newcastle are very unhappy about this. Liverpool have now come in with a £120 million bid.
£110 million.
Plus
add-ons, yeah.
And it has been rejected. It's of the train of thought that Newcastle want to secure a potential replacement for Isak before they agreed to sell him, which we'll touch on in a bit. And yeah, it's been a horrible week. It's been a horrible transfer window for Newcastle in general, actually.
Just rejection after rejection. I do actually feel a little bit bad for...
Speak for yourself.
Well, not the Newcastle fans necessarily, but a lot of the players, like your Guimaraes, your Isaks, who I think, obviously, he kind of came out and said he wants to leave quite late in the window. And I do wonder if that was to do with, was he promised, oh, we're going to go after all these targets. We're going to bring in your Mark Gahees, your Ciescos, which maybe might happen anyway still. And I mean, there's so many names of people that have gone. Trafford's gone to Man City.
Mbeumo was another one. Konya was someone that they wanted. There's been a long list of targets which Newcastle have been linked to, have tried to push through, and have just failed. And it's worth asking the question, why are so many top players rejecting this project? On the on the front of it, it looks like a good project. Eddie Howe's done very well. He's done a very good job. They won a trophy last season. They got Champions League football. It's the most attractive thing to a player when a team has Champions League football. So what is it about Newcastle that's almost off-putting? Obviously, they haven't got a sporting director. Their head of football has been on his he's been on his leave notice for over a year now. He got diagnosed with a chronic condition, so he put his notice in, but he's still working because they haven't found a replacement. They obviously have got some issues with their footballing structure at the minute. So I wonder really what is the issue. I actually read a really interesting point the other day that Amanda Stavely, remember when she was part of the original consortium that brought the club?
Yes, yeah.
She was a huge figure at the club. And apparently she was a great midpoint between the players and the board, and she almost brought them in like family when they saw new players. She would make a real effort to make everyone feel at home and really go that extra mile. She's since left the club.
Yeah.
She's no longer there. So maybe, you know, word spreads. I imagine the footballing scene is a very small scene and the word spreads.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot has happened for Newcastle, but not positive at all. And now they're going into the new season with, outside of Anthony Elanga, which obviously
it's a good signing.
I think it's very much a 7 out of 10 signing.
Yeah, I think so. Well, he definitely improves them, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think he was bought under the pretense that there would be further additions.
There would be more,
to overall improve that squad. That defence probably needs another centre-back in there. Obviously, I know they've got a fantastic midfield, but one injury and then all of a sudden.
I mean, you know, Jacob Murphy obviously put in a shift last season, but he can't be your champion.
Sean Longstaff has left to go to Leeds.
Sean Longstaff, he's lost.
So it's looking bleak for Newcastle at the minute. And I think that Isak, it's not if he leaves, it's when he leaves.
I wouldn't be surprised if this one goes down right to the wire, I think, of the transfer window. Well, so like you said, Newcastle obviously want a replacement, which they are working on. And there's been a bid on that in the last hour or so. At the time of the recording, which we'll touch on in a bit. But Liverpool seemed, the reports that came out there, a bit skittish that obviously the £120 million bid got rejected. And I don't know how much more Liverpool will be willing to put down on Isak.
I very much believe that is the bid where they're like, look, this is what we're willing to pay. It's a ton of money.
Yep.
But we'll let you go off, get your replacement sorted, bring someone else in, and then we'll come back and talk. Because it's now come out that actually Liverpool aren't going to bid again.
No.
That was the one and only bid they were going to make. That, again, feels very much like a negotiation tactic to be like, look, we put all this money on the table.
And they know Isak wants to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much Newcastle can do.
The only hand they have to play in this situation, Newcastle, is that Isak does have 2 or 3 years left on his contract.
3 years on his contract.
So, you know, the club are very much in a position where if you're not going, you just can't go.
Yeah.
But
3 years, I mean, I do dislike it when players do this in terms of that they really push for a move. 3 years on a contract where he's earning 100 grand a week?
I don't know.
150 grand
I reckon
a week,
around 150 grand.
Which obviously is breaking news, guys. It's a lot of money.
A lot
of money. And you're on a 3-year deal. You signed the contract knowing it would be that long. I can understand Newcastle's frustration from this standpoint. This point.
Yeah.
Because it is so frustrating and they just had a really good year. They've won a trophy for the first time in however long. Champions League football. It's all very exciting. And then your best player goes, I want to leave. But again, it comes back to, what was he promised?
Well, this is the problem. Newcastle would love to pay him £300,000 a week. They simply cannot because of the tight regulations. They're within PSR regulations, which has really stopped them from investing last year, which has obviously hurt.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
...them and giving their best players the contracts they would probably want to be given.
Or deserve, yeah.
Yeah. So they've been really buckled by the PSL restrictions, and that's why they cannot give Isak the contract that they desperately would like to give him, a 4 or 5 year contract. The only way I see him staying is if they say to him, look, okay, we'll give you a new contract, we'll give you a nice pay rise, yep, but we'll put a £120 million release clause in, activated next summer. Because Champions League football this year,
yeah,
and look, fans forget very quickly in football.
Very true.
From October, November, if he scored 7, 8 Premier League goals for Newcastle, scored a couple in the Champions League, everyone's going to very quickly forget that this was ever a thing. Yep. And then next season, he can, whatever happens, you know, they have a good season, they have a bad season, shake hands, be like, look, thank you for staying. Champions League season completed. Absolutely. You can now go if someone activates that £120 million release clause. The only doubt a player would have in that instance, though, is, you know, that's all well and good, but if I get a ACL injury,
break a leg or something,
yeah, who's going to be paying £120 million for Isak next summer?
And also, I mean, just anyway, who is going to be paying £120 million for Isak next summer? Obviously, he is probably one of the best players in the league, maybe the world.
Oh, but if, for whatever reason, if Ekitike gets 17, 16 Premier League goals next season, Liverpool turn around and be like, actually, we're quite happy. He's younger. He's done very well in his first season. We're going to bank on him. And all of a sudden, what's the market for Isak? Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's going to be an interesting one to see how this plays out. But I, sadly for Newcastle fans, happily for everyone else, I don't think it plays out very well at all.
Well, actually, I mean, you say happily for everyone else, but Liverpool, if they get Isak,
yeah,
what a summer they've had.
What a summer
Holy
they've
shit.
Had.
Oh, they're going to be so good next year.
I hate that it's Liverpool, but there's something really awesome.
I like it because it's new. It's not Man City. Yeah. It's not Chelsea.
Yeah. There's something really badass about going out and just spending
£400 million
on, like, I look at the signings they've made and I'm like, they're good players. They're not wasting their money there. It's
all the positions they need and they want, they're going for and they're getting. Obviously, they still arguably need a centre back. They have been linked with Gehi, which is kind of quieting down.
I feel like that might be a very last minute in the
window. It could be. But Isak, very interesting. But we spoke about the replacement Newcastle are searching for. And as of half an hour ago, at time of recording, they put a bid in of $75 million plus five with add-ons of Benjamin Sesko from Leipzig. Now, he's been heavily linked with Man United as well over this last week. Taylor?
Yeah, I'll take you through
the saga.
So last week it emerged that Manchester United whittled down their striker targets to either Ollie Watkins or Benjamin Sesko.
Yep.
If you'd have asked me this time last week who I thought they probably would have gone for, based on the transfer activity of Manchester United so far, they've very much gone for Premier League proven players, someone who can guarantee a level of success in the Premier League. I would have said Ollie Watkins.
Yeah.
And then since it emerged that actually, you know, Benjamin Sesko was the primary target for the strike position, I'm not a particularly big fan.
No, I think we spoke about it a bit already, haven't we? When it was the kind of Arsenal saga of Sesko or Gyökeres, we were both much more, Gyökeres makes so much more sense. He was also obviously linked to Man United, and that could have happened apparently, but he said no, fuck United.
Yeah, essentially.
Or like Arsenal.
And it's very interesting actually, because Manchester United have scouted every single year for 4 years now, back to when he was in Slovakia, he was in Domžale. They wanted, Domžale wanted
Sesko,
two.
This is, obviously.
Yeah, this is Sesko, yeah. When he was playing for Domžale when he was 16, he was worth, according to Domžale, £2 million. Manchester United did not want to pay the £2 million because they thought that was an extreme thing for someone so young, so they decided against it.
God. And classic United, though.
That's classic United. Classic United of old, I will say. Yeah. And since then, obviously, he went to Salzburg, and then he's made the step up to Leipzig, and he's very much stayed in the Red Bull franchise. And Manchester United have tracked that progress, along with a host of other clubs, let's say, such as Arsenal, obviously. Yep. And now it seems that he is the primary target. And also it's come out that he would prefer to join Manchester United. Again, very much bad news to Newcastle, because it seems like...
God, if Newcastle get another rejection there, that is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I almost want us to sign him just because I think it'd be hilarious to see the cries from Newcastle fans being like, oh, someone else rejected us. But very much unsure about this whole thing. I do now see it that despite the Newcastle bid, I very much see that as Newcastle trying to put pressure on Leipzig and the player to be like, look, do Manchester United have the funds in this scenario to pay what you want? If they don't, or you're unsure about this, we are willing to offer this much, which is roughly 90 million euros, including all add-ons. And we will do this now. We'll get it done. We'll give you Champions League football, which... So it'll be very interesting to see if... I'm sure Leipzig will accept that bid.
I think so. I mean, maybe not the first one, but it depends on the structure.
I think it's extremely close to what they want.
Well, did they say they wanted £75 million?
Yes.
Pounds?
Yes. Okay, so right. I think the original bid is £60 million plus 10 in add-ons. Yeah, so it's at that £70 million fee. And I don't think they're far off. And I think that could be ironed out within mere hours. Yeah, literally.
I mean, I think if you're Benjamin Sesko right now, you're probably thinking... Newcastle, in terms of at least the short term, makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Because you come in, especially Isak's on his way out, you are the guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to be that number nine. Mm-hmm. Man United is a lot riskier, and also there is more competition. Mm-hmm. You've got a struggling Hoyland there, and you've got a Xerxes, who is maybe not, he's probably not even a nine, is he?
10 goals, 10 assists.
10 goals, 10 assists. I'm a big fan of that. I think he goes to Newcastle. I think, like you said, I think Man United, to be honest, I think we've spoken about this. Your urgent signing, you don't need a nine. That midfield is the issue. So I think someone like Sesko, I only see him at Man United failing.
No, 100%. Manchester United is not the place for someone who's trying to build a
22-year-old, still very raw.
We have one already.
Exactly.
This is the problem.
How's that go?
Well, Leipzig, it's been claimed, Rasmus Højlund is their dream signing. To replace Sesko. So that could be the determining factor for Manchester United. Because I don't see a world in which we sign Sesko and Rasmus Højlund stays. Yeah. So that could very much be used as the paperweight to kind of bring that fee down.
Yep.
I don't see them both coexisting. Mm-hmm. We haven't got enough fixtures this year to have two very young strikers. We also have Chido Obi, who...
The young guy, isn't he?
Who's been brought into the first team and obviously brought in last year. He's been... promoted, and very much what would he be thinking if, and he's looked all right, he hasn't scored a goal yet, but I feel like once it comes it will come. He's looking good, and so I don't think they both coexist. Rasmus Højlund will probably have to leave. I don't think Manchester United fans have the appetite for another very young raw and striker who might score 5 Premier League goals, who might score 12 Premier League goals. It's an interesting one. It's going to probably be determined in the next week.
Oh yeah,
next few days. I'm sure we'll know who secured the bag.
I mean, I think Ollie Watkins anyway makes a lot more sense for United.
I think Jean-Philippe Mateta makes the most sense for Manchester.
It's interesting
United.
That there's no buzz around that at all.
42 million. I don't know why I have this number in my head. Would be enough to secure Jean-Philippe Mateta. And the thing is,
I think he's just a Palace man.
No, I don't care though, because. Imagine him in that Manchester United away kit, that
long sleeve.
Long sleeve, shirt tucked in, goes Old hard. Trafford, vibes, Mbeumo, Cunha.
Love that.
Yeah, no, Jean-Philippe Mateta would not get 20 league goals for Manchester United. No. But what he will do is bring such a quality of play to allow Mbeumo and Cunha to get their goals, Bruno Fernandes, he will still score goals. It makes so much sense in my mind.
How much is a 29, 30-year-old Ollie Watkins going to cost you?
He's going to cost...
60?
Manchester United would want to pay no more than 45 million. That would never get accepted.
No.
Unless...
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Why would he want to move unless he's just really interested in a new challenge?
Yeah, I mean, for Ollie Watkins, I don't understand it because they got European football. Mm-hmm. I know Crystal Palace have also got European football, but it's Conference League.
Yeah.
Jean-Philippe Mateta strikes me as an Old Trafford vibes man.
That would make a lot more sense than I think Watkins, and it would probably be cheaper. Again, he's done so much press and promo at Palace this summer.
We're almost going up Schitt's Creek here because it's a non-starter, but it's just my dream striker signing for Manchester. But I just feel like there's better striking options for what Manchester United's transfer activity has been so far. I'd prefer a Strand Larsen over Sesko.
Pretty decent.
I'd prefer Ollie Watkins. I'd prefer, you know, Jean-Philippe Mateta. There's other Premier League strikers out there who would probably get similar goal output to Sesko in his first season.
It seems to be you want someone. I don't know. I mean, Watkins and Sesko are such different profiles of players.
It's bizarre that they're not on either of those.
Because they're such a different. You're getting such different things out of both of them. Sesko, you're getting in, who's kind of. He's quick, he's strong, he's a bit erratic.
Yeah.
And he does remind me of Darwin Nunez. I know we've said that before. But he's also got a bit of that Nicholas Jackson, who's another target of yours.
Yeah.
Who we haven't even mentioned.
It's important to know as well that Christian Vivelle, Manchester United, recently was part-time, now full-time sporting director.
How do you become a part-time sporting director?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the dream job, it might be.
Yeah,
like 20 hours a week as a sporting director.
Yeah. Non-permanent paid sporting director, now permanent sporting director. He was obviously in the Red Bull setup and he was the guy that originally brought in Sesko to the Red Bull setup.
Right.
This is his fingerprints all over. It very much came out that Amorim wanted Watkins, Premier League proven. And this is Vivelle's first, I'd say, stab. Spending a lot of money on someone that he's really banking on.
Yeah.
This is Manchester United fans are very good at knowing the family tree setup of the club and very much know the Vivelle all over this. And if he wasn't to work out, it would really not bode well. It would not look good for future signings he would like to make. It's very much seems weird that this is the basket that he's going to put all his eggs in, but it seems like he's been given the capacity to make this gigantic, it's a massive outlay. So it's going to be on him whether this works. Obviously, Amorim then has to bring him in and his coaching set up and himself have to make it work. But it's going to be interesting if it does happen. Low-key kind of want Newcastle to get him.
Yeah, the Sesko saga over the next few days is going to be very interesting. And I think that's something to kind of keep an eye on, especially the kind of Isak Newcastle story going forward. Probably for the next few weeks, to be honest, still. I don't see that resolving anytime soon. But other news on this last week. Heung-min Son has just announced he's leaving Spurs. Fair. Which is, I think it makes sense. Completely good time. And he's a bit of a club legend there, to be fair to him.
Numbers have dropped off. Hasn't
this last 2 years,
Won a trophy now. First trophy in 17 years for the club.
Yeah, which is nice. Feels and like he's a very likeable player, to be fair. Yeah. Fuck Spurs, but good on him. And
don't mind Heung-min
Son. No, you can't. I don't think anyone could hate him.
I liked that he announced he was leaving, like on the tour in South Korea, where obviously he's a national hero. Yeah. I like that vibe.
I do. I think it's good.
Handled properly, I believe.
They're very good on him. Other interesting news as well. So Amazon have done a documentary on the new kind of American structure that there is over at Birmingham, and there's a new documentary on that. And a clip that came out this morning and has been everywhere. It's a Tom Brady is a 2% owner in Birmingham. And there's a clip of him kind of getting shown around the grounds, involved in some of the training, talking to Mr. Wayne Rooney, who at the time was the manager or the head coach at Birmingham. And he basically said, what was the direct quote? Was it? It was,
I question the manager's work ethic.
Hilarious. For an American footballer who's a 2% owner in the club to come and question Wayne Rooney's work ethic. That being said, he might not have had a very good work ethic, which may be why it didn't work out.
It didn't help that prior to when he said that, the clip which they showed of Rooney, he seemed very lackadaisical. He seemed like he'd been out in like Pop World until 2 in the morning and then rocked up at work. You know, the vibe I question Rooney as a manager at the best of
I
times.
Do as well.
He's not the most charismatic geezer. He's not the most well-tongued fan.
He's not
I've
particularly,
ever heard.
I can't imagine, he's not very American-friendly, is he, as well?
No.
Being a Scouser, so they can probably not understand
imagine,
him anyway.
Especially if you don't know the
football.
Historical, you know, history.
Him being
of
one of the best players in the history of the Premier League.
Yeah, literally. You can look at this bloke and be like,
who's this fat Scouse bloke? Yeah, and why is he coaching the club?
And why is he saying 14 words every minute? It's just, you know, it's. He doesn't come across as the most
articulate.
You know, yeah, articulate, passionate.
I do like Rooney, especially as a pundit. I think he's got a lot better as a pundit. You're smirking like you don't agree with me.
No, I don't particularly.
He's better than Paul Scholes.
Love Rooney, one of my favourite top three United players of all time. Great footballer.
Yeah. I'll say that. But just a really funny clip. If you haven't seen it, please look it up. It's just Tom Brady who, mm-hmm. I mean, he's... quite a different character to Rooney, I think it's safe to say.
But yeah, I think then on that note, I want to ask you a question, Cormac, because preseason is a time where you get to see players you wouldn't necessarily always see. You get to see players who might be leaving, new players who have just recently joined.
Yep.
But probably my most favorite part about preseason is you get to see some of the young players that play, especially for the top clubs, and see them get their opportunity. I want you to talk me through Max Dowman, the 15-year-old phenomena.
Yeah, he looks like Lionel Messi. He did not, I don't want to oversell it, but he looks like the next coming of Messi. So if you guys haven't seen a new 15-year-old who's been playing some of the preseason games for Arsenal, Max Bauman, who looks unbelievable. He's a right winger / right midfielder.
He's anything he wants to be.
He's a small lad. I mean, he's only 15 as well. But he looks absolutely electric. The ball sticks at his feet. He can pass and move. He's rapid. He's rapid with the ball at his feet. And he can just play the right pass. He looks like if you were to just build a footballer in a machine and he would come out. He looks like ridiculous. I mean, there's not too much to say other than how exciting.
I'm glad
you
undersold it.
Yeah, I know. But obviously, right, big caveat here. I'm a big fan of slagging off preseason. Mm-hmm. And I really believe preseason means nothing at the end of the day. It's a lot of trying things out. It's a lot of players don't really give a shit that much. They are unfit. They're trying to get themselves back. But this 15-year-old looks insane. It'll be really interesting this year to see how much football he actually plays in the first team. I can't imagine there'll be a lot because 15 is very young, very, very young. When Yari made his debut when he was 15, I think, or just 16 or something mm-hmm. like that.
I think he was 15.
But again, he played, I think, maybe once other than that in the season. So we'll be playing a lot of... We'll be playing a lot of under 21 minutes and it'll probably feature maybe in a few kind of Carabao Cup games. Because he does look that good. And Arteta clearly trusts him. He's already training with the first team. But, I mean, you've seen it as well. How electric does he
look? I watched him play against Manchester United under 21s, I want to say, or the under 18s in one of the cup games. And he just stood out as something else.
Real talent. He's going to be one to watch. Grade. Again, this isn't exactly breaking news in terms of we're not the first ones to see him. This kid, watch him. But he does look unbelievable, and it's been a big chatting point from Arsenal's preseason.
It looks special. I think when you see a 15-year-old who has the decision-making capacities of what a pro-level footballer would expect to have, the brain's there.
It's becoming more and more common, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
This kind of thing. You're getting more and more teenagers look like adults and play like adults.
Yeah. Yamal broke into the first team in Barcelona when he was 16 years old.
I mean, he's different gravy, though, isn't he? He is maybe one of the best players, if not the best player in the world.
Yeah, 100%. Did you see the goal he scored on preseason the other day? He's literally running down the right wing, and then he chopped in and literally pushed the player out. Just like so physical, so young, but so physical.
He's getting bigger as well.
The knowledge to then take that further step forward to then curl the shot in instead of just taking the shot.
Yeah.
Different gravy.
He's
going
to be the best player in the world for a long period of time.
I'm excited to see Dowman, though. I think he's looking,
I think so.
He's looking great. Very jealous. Like to see generational talents.
We have a lot. Arsenal, best academy in the league, I think, in terms of young guys coming through.
Yeah, probably would agree, actually.
Yeah, you got Saka, obviously, who's down the first year. Lewis Skelly, who's probably going to be our number one left-back this coming year. Wijnaldum's going to play a big thing. We've got this Dowman fella.
Yeah, that's true. In terms of actual output, in terms of players you'd expect to see in...
on the pitch, in your 11.
For England, for example, at international tournaments, you could see a world where all... four of them playing in the same squad, which is good for Arsenal, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Going on to pre-season still with Arsenal. Played Spurs, lost 1-0. Huge again, don't care. But Victor Gyökeres made his debut, and he has been getting rinsed online. He came on around the 77th minute mark.
Do you not think he looks like handsome Squidward?
He does look a little bit. His face is very defined.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a handsome bloke.
Yeah.
And he's a big guy, but he's been getting ripped online. Basically, I mean, it's the same old Arsenal problems that we just weren't feeding the ball. And again, it's preseason.
Yeah, I just love
12 minutes of playing in Asia.
Bro just literally landed. I love the highlight reels where it's literally a 30-second clip of him running on, doing nothing, and then it's full time. There's something really satisfying about it.
It's really funny. Funny. But yeah, not too worried about that. Any other news you want to talk about there, Taylor?
There's so much, and I'm adamant there's stuff we've definitely missed out.
Yeah, we feel the big blows.
Outside of that, I think obviously Manchester United preseason quickly beat Bournemouth 4-0. Huge. We always lose to South Coast clubs all the time. So to beat Bournemouth 4-0, and the most interesting part for me was Iraola coming out after the game being like, they've got one hell of a team. They're different.
He's buttering you guys up, man.
Yeah. And he buttered me silly because I am a piece of buttered bread right now. that flows. And I'm a fan. Rasmus Højlund scored. Well, Ahmad scored, but technically it was a Højlund goal. We had a...
Wait, what? Ahmad scored, but technically a Højlund goal?
Yeah, so Ahmad shot and it went in, but it brushed Højlund's foot as it went in.
You know what? Give him any goal he wants.
Yeah, give it to him, man. Can't remember who else scored. Oh, Ethan Williams, shout out, 19-year-old Manchester lad, youth academy player. Really nice. We love to see it. Hopefully with all the bomb squad getting thrown out here, there and everywhere at some point.
He'll make an appearance.
He just might be a nice squad player for the rest of the year. It seems like he's got a good mentality. He seems good. That's pretty much it from Manchester United side.
Right, now going into our 25-26 Premier League predictions, full league 1 through 20. Me and Taylor have done our own lists here. So one of us has gone a little bit safer than the other. I'll give you a hint already. That's probably going to be me. Taylor, do you want to kick us off with 18 down to 20?
Yeah, I'm going to caveat my list with it's not going to make anyone happy.
No, it's not making people happy, man.
I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So bottom of the league, I'm going to go for Burnley. Classic. They come up, they go down.
Yep.
It'd be happening. They brought on Manuel Broja from Chelsea. Not a fan of it. I like the player and his raw ability.
I was going to say, I'm a fan of Broja.
But Bro has just...
I think it's good for him in terms of hopefully he can stay fit and get some minutes in. And
yeah, but in a team where they've lost
Scott Parker's,
James Trafford, they're going to struggle. Scott Parker, come on.
I was going to say, I think we've sagged him off before. But
so then I've got 19th, I've gone for Wolves. Wolves need about 7 first team players. But I will shout out one of my favourite pieces of transfer business, and they've signed a left back called Wolf. And I like the idea of Wolf playing for Wolves. And then I'm going to go for 18th place. I've gone for West Ham. West Ham confirmed the signing of Callum Wilson this morning. They desperately needed a striker and they went and got one, which is why I'm putting them in 18th place.
Yeah, West Ham never had a good striker signing since, I think, like we said, Antonio, who is, bless him, looks like he's still on the squad post-car crash, which is very, very impressive.
He's out of contract, but he's still listed on the club website. So he's back playing for the under-21s.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord knows he'll be the starting striker for West Ham come the run in when they're desperately needing to stay up.
I think, like you said, Wolves as well. Obviously, they lost Cunha to Man United, and he was their probably sole reason that they had a bit of a run towards.
And Ait Nouri.
And Ait Nouri, obviously, is also gone, gone to City.
And also Nelson Semedo.
Nelson Semedo as well. Yeah, interesting, actually. I wonder what's going to happen with him.
Saudi. 100%. Yeah. That screams Saudi. He's like 32.
Good on him, man.
Yeah. Cormac, hit me with your relegation.
So I've gone very, very boring. I think it's just going to be Burnley, Leeds, Sunderland. So that's 20 through 18 there. Burnley bottom of the league for all the reasons you said. Scott Parker, his teams couldn't score a goal if there was an open net. That's a stupid and boring analogy, but that's all I've got. I think he just really struggles to get any form of productive attack going. He only relies on individual excellence, which this Burnley team in the Championship can get away with. But unfortunately, you can't get away with it in the Premier League. Every Fulham fan knows that. Every Burnley fan, unfortunately, knows that from last season. I can't remember what it was, the amount of goals they conceded at the end of last year, but it was something like less than 20 goals, mm-hmm. I think. It was very impressive defensive record.
Scott Parker is the greatest manager in the Championship and then the worst manager outside of it.
I think so. But that's an easy one. I've gone Leeds in 19th. Again, I just don't think they've done enough this window. Their squad is very Championship heavy. Again, Dan James excellence. Maybe he comes back and crushes it. But I just don't think they'll do enough. And then I've gone for 18th. I've gone for Sunderland. Granit Xhaka's back in the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen. Fucking watch out for your car
did
windows.
Did you see the interview he did where Sunderland admin was asking him all these questions? He's like, who is Sunderland you excited to play with? Everyone. Bro has no idea where he is, what he's doing. But like I said last podcast, spent half a day with Ten Hag. And he's like, I'll go anywhere.
Yeah, well, and is that, what was the other question? It was... it's like what made you pick Sunderland? And he went, the challenge. Yeah. He was like, it's gonna be rough.
That's rather ominous.
I mean, it's a great signing for Sunderland.
Yeah,
good signing. But yeah, I just don't think, unfortunately, it's
gonna be rough. So now, should we go to the chatbot? I did this pre.
Yes, all right. What have the chatbot put in the bottom three?
So
Taylor?
The chatbot has gone for Wolves finishing 20th.
Wow. All right.
And then they've got 19th place. They've got Sunderland.
Okay, yeah.
And then in 18th, they've got Burnley.
Interesting. Okay. So they're not, but they're putting Leeds outside of the top three, bottom three, as well as your Sunderland, your West Ham as well.
So it sounds like the chatbot has amalgamated our minds already and gone for a half and half, which is really pathetic.
Sit on the fence, actually, with the chatbot.
And I hate that from the chatbot. Yeah. But anyway, so then what's the next block we're going to go
for? So I think let me do 17, 16, 15. Mm-hmm. And 14.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Shall I go first with this one?
Yeah.
So 17th, I'm just escaping relegation. I have West Ham. 16th, I have Brentford. 15th, I have Wolves. And 14th, I have Everton. Again, going back to West Ham. So I've put them basically being the best of the worst here. I think the other three who have come up are going to be that bad, that different, mm-hmm. that they're going to get 35 to 40 points, but that's going to be enough. I think Graham Potter's gone by December.
100%. There's no way he's survived.
I think he's probably... I'm willing to say the first manager.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Back this year, I'm going to put that prediction down now. I don't think that's a bold prediction as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's just not got the setup around him. When like someone like Brighton, I think the longer the time goes on, the more realised how well run of a club Brighton is, mm-hmm. and maybe how ununique of a manager Graham Potter is, which I think is pretty brutal. A little bit harsh.
I like the opinion. The only saving grace that West Ham have is that Lucas Paqueta has now been cleared of all betting charges.
Yeah.
So he can now crack on, unless he was the
crack on to his move to Man City.
This is it. Rumours are that Flamengo really want him. Flamengo have some Club World Cup money. Mm. They might be able to fork out 20 mil.
How old was Paqueta? 28?
Yeah, he's going to be late 20s. Yeah. If he leaves, there's, in my mind,
That's it. And then, so just escaping. And then I've got 16th, I've got Brentford, which is a bit of a drop. I think they finished, I want to say, 10th last year. Mm-hmm. So sixth position drop, which is quite dramatic. But I think they're really going to struggle this year. See, Mbeumo's gone. Wissa, at the time of recording, is still at the club. But there's been a lot of links of him potentially leaving. And Thomas Frank as well, obviously leaving, going to Spurs. Their new manager, don't know much about him. But I just think their main guys have all gone. Thomas Frank, who's been there for however long, has gone. I don't think they're going to be awful by any means. I think this gap here is going to be particularly close, and kind of any of these teams mm-hmm. can kind of interchange. But I think they'll struggle, which is a shame, because I do really like Brentford. I've always had a well-run club, a nice club, family club.
I hate Brentford now after the Mbeumo saga.
Yeah.
I hate them. I hope they get relegated. I don't think you will, but I hope you do.
And then Wolves 15th. Going to struggle, but I think they've got enough in them. I think, again, to kind of step. I mean, this is kind of the best of the worst in this conversation here. And then we've got Everton. I think Moyes will do well for the first couple of months.
They need more signings.
They need a lot more players. New stadium, which is fun as well, which is exciting. I was expecting them to spend just a little bit more money this year. Mm-hmm. As again, they still could. There's a few weeks left in the transfer window. But they've got a few decent players still. I just don't know how much... Pardon me.
We're on the beers.
Take that, Everton. I think they could finish anywhere from 14th to 10th, I think, to be honest with you. But that's what I'm going to say. Go on.
I'm now going to my next four block, which I'm going to go for Leeds in 17th, Sunderland in 16th, Brentford in 15th, and then I'm going to go for...
Taylor's doing this on the go, though, by the way, in case you couldn't tell.
I'm also going to go Everton. Relatively boring. Brentford needs some help.
So is that them in 17th, sorry?
15th.
15th, sorry.
Brentford, very cyclical. Sunderland and Leeds. I put Leeds below Sunderland because I like Sunderland's transfer business.
Yep.
Leeds have Daniel Farke, who I despise as a Premier League manager.
He's another one. He's just not
going to be gone at some point during the year, and they're going to bring in someone else. But I think they'll just...
They'll sack him 6 weeks too late,
gone at that point. Outside of that, agree. I like Sunderland's business. I like Xhaka. I like Adingra. I like what they're doing. It looks like they're going for it in a slightly different manner.
Mm-hmm.
A fan of it. So I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that block.
Who really cares?
So then Cormac, hit me with your next block.
Wait, hang on. We've not done the chat block.
How could I forget the stupid chat block?
Stupid AI.
So in 17th place, outrageously.
This... stinks. I swear to God, if we are... I'm just looking at this. Oh my God, go on, read it out.
So in 17th place, the chatbot has Bournemouth, which is outrageous. So the way that I prompted the chatbot, I should have caveated with this beforehand, is that I asked the chatbot to simulate every single Premier League fixture and as a result, build me a constructed Premier League table with wins, draws and losses and goal difference.
Okay.
So in 17th place, we have Bournemouth. In 16th place, we have Fulham.
Wow.
In 15th, we have Nottingham Forest.
Wow.
And then in 14th, which we all can agree on, Everton.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's nice. So we've all gone for that.
So this is where the chatbot's going off-piste, shall we say.
Yeah. So read that again for me.
So 17th, we have Bournemouth.
Who finished 9th last year.
16th, we have Fulham.
Who finished 11th last year.
15th, we have Nottingham Forest.
Who finished 7th last year.
14th, we have Everton.
Who finished 13th last
year.
So, I mean, that's very bold.
That's very bold. The chatbot is being more extreme than me.
It really is. It's gone out there. I'll be honest, I completely disagree with that. Bournemouth finishing 17th.
The only thing which I could see that happening to Forest, for example, would be European football just being a bit too
much.
Yeah,
to be fair, I mean, that leads quite nicely onto my next section, because I'm pretty sure Nottingham Forest make a feature there. So going into 13th, we have Crystal Palace.
Yep.
12th, Nottingham Forest.
Yep.
11th, Bournemouth. And then 10th, Brighton. That's all I've gone for there. Palace, I think, will... The kind of Thursday night football, I think, will struggle them. They will struggle.
Where do they historically always finish?
12th.
Yeah, so you're drawing them below. Yeah.
And again, that is also on the back of Eze moving to Arsenal.
Okay.
Which is going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Going to happen. Again, I think they'll have moments this year, but I just think the Thursday night football is going to kind of mess with their squad depth a little bit, which, again, is kind of normal. Mm-hmm. 12th, Forest. I just think they drew a massive drop off from 7th last year, which was incredible. And obviously, I know they were about finishing top four, and they did fall off towards the end of last year. They've lost Anthony Elanga. They've managed to keep most of their other pieces. Chris Wood is another year older, but I still think he's going to have a decent year. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 15 Premier League goals again this year. Because I think he finished on 20 last year, wasn't it?
Not far off.
Yeah, I think it was low 20s or 20 on the dot. So I still believe that he'll have that ability to keep it going. But I think just it's going to be, again, with European football, they will struggle ever so slightly. Bournemouth 11th, again, just a kind of another Bournemouth year.
Yeah.
11th would be another good year. I'd love to see them do a little cup run, a little FA Cup run. Again, I quite like Bournemouth.
It's
a pretty inoffensive team.
Bournemouth have lost their entire defence.
They have. Well, yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah, so obviously Kirke's gone Liverpool, which was only announced like the other day. Hoisting's gone.
Zabani is going to be going to PSG.
Is that confirmed?
It's almost. They've been working on it all summer. There's no way that if PSG come in with a £65 million bid, 60, 50, they're turning that down. There's no way the player will want that. There's no way that gets.
Iraola is just a good enough manager, though. I think they can probably get away with it.
Yeah, very good player.
11th is fine.
They've kept Semenya, huge.
They have. That's big, actually. Well, at the moment, if Isak doesn't go Liverpool, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something else there. But he will be going Liverpool, so it's fine. And then 10th, Brighton. Another good Brighton year.
Yeah.
Who cares? Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Obviously lost João Pedro, but I think they'll be fine.
Okay. Huge. Okay, so we're going 14th to 10th, yeah?
I want, sorry, 13th to 10th, please.
13th to 10th. In 13th place, I'm going for Fulham. Like them. I just think they've done very well the last few years. There's a tail off eventually.
Sure.
I don't think they've invested crazily in the squad this year.
No.
So this might be the year that we see a bit of a downturn in results. I still think they'll have a good season.
Yep.
Cool, like that. In 12th, I'm going to go for Crystal Palace because they always finish 12th.
They love 12.
I like that. Jean-Philippe Mateta will vibes them to something.
Yeah. Adam Wharton's still there.
Yeah.
Bobby's lost.
In 11th, I'm going to go for Brighton. I think their model has served them so well. They've bought and sold so well.
Yeah.
Holding on to Belaba, which they will do.
I think so.
Will be huge for them. I think they've got some good striking options, good attacking options, solid at the back. That whole squad's going to be a whole another year down the line. I like their manager. They might drop off a little bit. I just think they're good to go.
Yep.
And then in 10th, I'm going to go for Spurs.
Oh, okay. That's the first shock of the day, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean,
is it a shock, really, actually? Because so that would be seven positions up from where they finished last year.
I think that squad is a young squad.
Very young squad.
They're going to lose Heung-Min Son.
Yep.
They're going to be playing Champions League football.
Yep.
I don't mind their squad, but they're so streaky. And I don't think just getting rid of Ange Postecoglou will solve that.
Yeah.
I also think Thomas Frank, I love Thomas Frank, by the way. I think he's
a big Thomas Frank.
Geezer. But do I think he has the capacity to then go from managing a Brentford to then having to go to Champions League football and managing a squad with much higher expectations? Yep. A bit uninspired with their transfer business so far. I know they brought in Kudos, but I don't know, they're signing João Palhinha on loan. A bit unimpressed.
Yep.
I think they'll get through the group stage, Champions League, and they'll probably get to the round of 16 or whatever.
And get knocked out by Bayern Munich.
Yeah, they'll get knocked out eventually. And then I think they'll offset that by not being so great in the Premier League, but better than they were last season.
I mean, that's a lot better. You know what? I'm surprised I was as shocked as I was. 10th isn't outrageous for Spurs, to be honest, considering how god-awful they were last year. Thomas Frank's a lot better manager.
Yeah. Do you need 9th from me as well, or are we just doing 13th to 10th?
Oh, we just have 13th to 10th there.
Cool. All right.
To the AI bot, please.
Back to the AI chatbot. So in 13th place, we have Leeds United.
Wow.
Wow.
What a year that would be from Leeds.
Look, if Daniel Fark stays in the job all season.
Wait, how many points did they put them on as well?
They put them on 46 points.
Yeah, 46.
Yeah, 46 points.
Oh, God.
Look, if they've done that, Daniel Fark, build him a statue, because he obviously has the facilities I do not know that he currently possesses.
No.
And then we're going to move up to 12. You know, certain things, death, taxes in life are guaranteed. But Crystal Palace
finishes 12.
According to the supercomputer, is also one of them. So, yeah, very pleased to see the chatbots agreed with me and also put Crystal Palace in 12.
Nice.
In 11th place, we have West Ham. I completely and utterly disagree
That was ballsy, that one.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Unless there's some crazy changes happening at that club, I can't see that happening.
And then in 10th place, they've got Brentford, which...
Very fair.
Yeah, fair. It could very well happen. Also, could not. Brentford have gone for Keith Andrews as their manager, who was in the previous setup with Thomas Frank. And they've gone for him. And he's never had a full-time manager's job. To take a full-time manager's job in the Premier League, although I did see a video of him early. You see that video? He had the coach cam on him. And
yes, I did, yes.
I liked it. He seemed like he's a vibe.
Do you want me to drop a cliche real quick?
Go on.
He knows the club.
Yeah, he knows
the club.
He knows the club. He's not disrupting. He knows what's up. He knows who they're buying.
Yeah.
He knows what's up. And we don't mind it, but I still don't think they'll do as well as the chatbot has predicted.
Yeah, I agree. Right, how about we do 10th? We just did 10th, sorry.
9th.
9th through to 7th.
Yes, okay.
For the top 6. So you start this time. I did the last one.
Okay, so in 9th place, I'm going to go for Aston Villa.
Okay, yeah.
I think they've got, Europa League, Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Previously had Champions League, a bit more of a gap in between. I don't think they've invested nearly enough in this squad. Who have they signed?
Top of my head, I can't even think. Let me just. Yeah. I'll give it
a I know they signed Boubacar Kamara to a new contract, which was huge because I wanted Manchester United to sign.
Yes, he's good. Yeah.
If they lose Ollie Watkins, which I think if Newcastle don't sign Sesko, they could very well go for Watkins. Yeah. And if they take him, gosh, they're going to need someone, Alejandro Garnacho. And so I'm going to go for Aston Villa at. Yeah, what? Aston Villa at ninth?
Yep.
Yes. And then I'm going to go for. Who am I missing? I'm trying to think.
Do you want me to finish off this little bit and then you go?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah. Hit me up.
So, ninth, I've gone for Fulham. Again, that would be. I mean, where did they finish? 11th last year. So, another fairly good year for Fulham. Big prediction incoming. I think Emil Smith-Rowe is going to have the season of his career.
No way. That's absolutely insane, brother. Because I was going to get us to do a segment after this where I was going to ask you to name one player who you thought was going to have an outstanding season. Because I thought about it on the way back from the gym. And my player was going to be Emil Smith-Rowe.
Look at us. One brain cell between the two of us, let me tell you. I think Emil Smith-Rowe, I think finally... You're going to be a bit settled.
Yeah.
He's going to have an injury-free season or an injury-free-ish season. I think this is his year now. Mm-hmm. I think he's been a bit unlucky the last few years with injuries.
Are we thinking late push for World Cup next year?
I hope so, man. I'd love that.
That's crazy, man. I can't believe you said that.
I think he's a 10-goal, 10-assist player when he's on it. So I think he's going to have that.
He does look just like Josh.
He does, doesn't he? God. But yeah, Iwobi there, another ex-Arsenal. Yeah. Leno, another ex-Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I think he could be. I think it could be another good year for Fulham.
Yeah.
I think they played really good football last year.
Okay.
And I think they managed to keep their core.
Okay.
Which I think is going to be very important. But yeah, like Fulham in ninth, eighth, I've gone Spurs. So again, that's a 9-position jump from them from last season.
Yeah, that's huge.
I just really like Thomas Frank, and I really trust that he has the ability. Coming again, it all depends about fitness, but so does all of this. So it's kind of a redundant statement. But I do think they'll be able to keep going. I really, and I think eighth is very. If Spurs fans, let's say, last 16 of Champions League, eighth this season, they're not going to be overwhelmed with joy. But I think compared to the last season, I think they're going to just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They're still going to be on such a high from winning Europa League.
Okay.
I think they'll be fine with that. And then finally, in seventh, Manchester United.
Unbelievable, Jeff. I think we should call it quits here.
I think that's a very fair assessment of where United are going to be this year. I think the top six, looking at the six teams I've got left, I still do have that quality in squad that much better. Obviously, United don't have weeknight football now, which is going to be really big. I just don't think... Again, depending on the rest of the summer, I would be tempted to move you higher up to six.
Okay.
One position.
Okay.
But I just I don't think you guys have the squad to keep... keep up with the top six. There's such a dearth of quality difference now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cut that, no one noticed. Taylor, Man United finishing seventh.
Outrageous callback. I can't believe you do this to me. Absurd opinion. Completely wrong. Fake news. We are not going to be finishing seventh. It will be...
eighth?
Potentially. No, I think you're wrong. And I'm happy to watch you be proven wrong.
All right, I think so. Right, you give me your nine.
Okay,
eight,
so I'll round
seven,
back. So obviously, Aston Villa ninth.
Yep.
We've spoken about that.
Yep.
Newcastle eighth.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they finished fourth last year.
Yeah.
So that's a four place drop.
I'm a vibesman.
You are a vibesman. Oh, so they finished fifth. Sorry. So that's a three place drop.
Fake news. I'd like to pretend I know about tactics, but ultimately I boil it all down to vibes.
Yeah.
And the vibes are so.
It's a vibes podcast.
It's a vibes podcast. Yeah. It is, and the vibes are off right now. They're one injury in midfield away from a really difficult time with the fixture congestion.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I feel like they need a good three or four more major signings. They need another centre-back. You know, if they lose one of their wing-backs, then
who knows?
It could be difficult. I'm calling it eighth. Got to put someone somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Isak leaves. And, I mean, it looks like Sesko's going to come in, but he's not going to fill that Isak-esque hole, is he?
Going to Newcastle, mate. No. He ain't going to Newcastle. And then in seventh place, I've gone for Chelsea.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
That would be magical.
I think I question the credentials of Enzo Maresca over the course of a league campaign. I don't mind their squad. It's annoying. Don't mind it.
Their 11 is very, their starting 11 is very strong.
Yeah. But I feel like it's more of a cup team. I think they'll thrive more in the Champions League than they will in the Premier League. And I think you'll see some of their fringe players get afforded more time in the Premier League as the campaign goes on, which will lead to more difficult results along the way, which might tail them off. I think they'll start hot.
Yep.
And then I think they'll tail off.
Which is what they did this year as well.
Classic Maresca fashion.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm picking Chelsea in at 7.
Yeah, damn. All right. Well, what does the AI mastermind have to say here?
Is going for, in 9th place, it's going for Brighton. It obviously loves a AI-driven scouting network, which... and it's gone for Brighton in at 9th, and then in 8th place it's gone for Aston Villa,
right,
and
there then you go.
In 7th it's gone for Newcastle. I joined them both because they obviously both think that it's going to struggle a result of European football.
I mean, that makes more sense, I think, than the other predictions it's done.
I mean, to be fair, me and the chat bar weren't far off from each other. We just position. I obviously think Aston Villa are going to struggle more with their struggle less with the Thursday night games, because I had them in at 9th. So Cormac hit me with the positions that matter the most.
So do you want to do 6-5? We'll do 6-5. Yeah. I mean, obviously 5th might be a Champions League space. But we'll do 6-5. Sixth, I have Newcastle. Fifth, I have Aston Villa. Which is quite high.
That is very high. It is quite high. Are you regretting that now?
I am a little bit, to be honest, but I'm going to stick with it. I think 6th, Newcastle, so that's only one position drop. I still do think they have the ability to do well. I just think their squad is a lot better than the likes of Spurs, Man United, and what have you. Isak thing's going to be very interesting, because I think I actually made this list just pre-Newcastle, Liverpool bid. So I don't think I had that in my mind as much as I probably do now. But I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to double down. I still do think they probably have top three midfield in the league. Defensively, when they're all fit, massive caveat. They are still very strong. I think Nick Pope is a bit of a liability, actually. Well, look, Ramsdale. Oh, we haven't even spoken about that.
That's hilarious.
Oh,
that's
Ramsdale. I really hope he does awfully. I don't really. I love Ramsdale. I'd always have a soft spot for Aaron Ramsdale.
Shout out Newcastle getting relegated, by the way.
The Ramsdale relegation curse carries over.
Yeah.
I'll always love Ramsdale. I think he is. I think for me, I think he's an improvement on Nick Pope.
Nick Pope, fantastic shot stopper.
Yeah.
Bad with his feet.
Which I think is, unfortunately, you need it now, don't you?
Yeah. It's a staple of the modern game.
Yeah.
He's going to struggle. Maybe, I don't even think Ramsdale's particularly amazing with his feet.
No. Nope. And then, like I said, 5th, I've got Villa. I really like this Villa team. I really like this Villa team. From front to back, I think Rodgers is going to have a better season than he did last year. I think he's going to continue to grow, depending on what happens with Watkins. But I still think if he does stay, I think he'll be, again, an 18-goal, 20-goal involvement season. Emi Martinez, is he gone now? It's not still not confirmed, is it?
He screams, like, final weeks of the transfer
window. He was crying, wasn't he?
Manchester United heavily linked.
Yeah.
We approached for a loan deal.
Shock,
Yeah. And obviously got immediately rejected. Wouldn't be surprised if Manchester United return in the final weeks, in like the final 2 weeks, maybe.
Yep.
But I can't see it happening. He screams Saudi to me.
He does scream. No, he's of that age and level. Yeah. I think Saudi would be great.
I like it. People screamed about Emi Martinez and Manchester United signing. I like him.
I think he is unbelievably overrated. But that being said, the only reason I think he's been overrated is because he's like won like two best keeper in the world awards, he is not a top 10 goalkeeper in the world.
I don't know. I like him. I think he is an outstanding improvement.
He has got that Bozo gene.
But most keepers do. And we have Manchester United currently have a goalkeeper which had one hell of a...
Bozo. He's got a Bozo chromosome.
And I think it's an upgrade. And I think, for example, I could see him part of a title winning team.
Yeah,
not convinced.
Well, he won the World Cup, which is well and good.
Anyway,
that saved, didn't he, in extra
time? But that's a cup tournament.
It is. It's not the same.
I disagree with the longevity necessarily, but I think he could definitely play a good part.
Yeah, right. Go on. You give me 5 and...
6 and 5.
6 and 5.
Yeah. Okay, in 6th place... this could be outrageous. I'll go for Man City.
Good stuff. Go on.
Yeah. I think Manchester City, squad in transition... I think they brought in a lot of new players.
I'd love to agree.
I think losing Kevin De Bruyne just from that squad is huge. Bernardo Silva, a year older. Mateo Kovacic, I think he's injured at the minute. Year older. Rodri, we don't know what he's going to be like post-injury.
Sure.
Don't mind some of their signings. I really like Tijani Reinders, but
Probably one of the best midfielders in the world last year.
I just think I've got to back him to finish.
Six is crazy. Yeah, I think there's no way in hell Pep has two back-to-back down seasons.
Yeah. I feel like I'm 100% missing a team that I haven't mentioned.
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we'll find out.
This is what happens when you don't come to the podcast prepared. Who have you been fifth?
I'm going to go for... I've got to be missing teams that I haven't mentioned in here, surely. Have I put Nottingham Forest anywhere?
No.
Oh, no. Fifth, I'm going for Nottingham Forest.
So one of us made a list and came prepared to this podcast. The other one was like, no, I'm just going to vibes it.
Yeah, no, I've just 100% realised Nottingham Forest was not placed in my list. So actually, I'm going to flip it. Flippity flip it.
Okay.
In sixth place, I'm going for Forest.
Very brave of you.
Yeah, no, the reason why I'm going for Forest in sixth is because they've kept Morgan Gibbs-White. Shout out the most hostage situation.
Oh, that video is sensational.
Situation I've ever seen. Love that. I think Chris Wood, again, is going to score 20 league goals this season. I think I love Maria at the back.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. They've kept Aina.
Yeah.
Huge. Got their goalkeeper. What's their goalkeeper's name?
Oh, my God. We should know this, really.
Yeah, no, I 100% should know it, considering they're in at sixth.
Can't remember. I can picture his face. Can't remember him.
And also they've just signed Dan Ndoye from Bologna for 40 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I like him.
I don't know anything about him, really.
It's the club where Manchester United bought Joshua Zirkzee from. And anytime you buy a player from Bologna, it guarantees you success. And yep, I'm a big fan of Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, slash forgot about them.
As a result, and then obviously I'm going to put Manchester City in fifth. Very generous of me.
Yeah, there you go. What has the chatbot?
The chatbot has gone for sixth place, Tottenham. Completely disagree. Can't see how they manage a Champions League campaign and
sixth is ballsy. I mean, I've got them in eighth, so it's not that much of a difference.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Sure.
And then in fifth place, they've gone for Chelsea.
Love that.
Yeah, I like that. Keeping them away from the top.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm happy with that. Yeah. Right, going in the top four then.
Yeah.
Let's do fourth and third, I think.
Okay.
In fourth, I've got Chelsea.
Yeah.
And in third, I've got Manchester City. I think Chelsea's squad, unfortunately, is just really good. And I think coming off the back of that Club World Cup that no one gave a shit about, they're going to feel confident. Cole Palmer is top four player in the league. João Pedro, Delap, good striking options. Their midfield with Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez is very strong. I just do think...
No, I've just realised.
Have you forgotten?
Gone.
Oh no.
It's fine. I don't disagree with your fourth and third. It's probably more spot on than mine. I'm really going against the motions here. Drinking more beers as we go is causing considerable pain for me as I'm realizing I forgot.
And in third, Man City, I just like the reasons I said earlier. Pep doesn't have two back-to-back bad seasons. Rodri's back, and I have no doubt he'll be back to his best. Savinho is going to be even better. Haaland's going to be probably fitter than he was last year. Their defense is pretty solid. Ruben Diaz, Guardiol, Edison. I mean, who really knows? But I just think they can't be worse than third, to be completely honest.
That's fair.
Yeah. Right, go on, Taylor. What's your third and fourth then?
So in fourth place, I have the completely renowned, utterly unbeatable Bournemouth. Unless you're Manchester United, of course, who dispatched them 4-0 over on Wednesday night. In America. Yeah, sadly for me, I completely forgot that Bournemouth existed. You know, that's what you get when you have
you've made your bed.
No.
This is all intentional.
I'm going to start by saying they have a 12,500-seat stadium. It's minor. But you know what isn't minor about Bournemouth? Everything else, their coaching setup is top class. They've held on to Antoine Semenyo. Bournemouth getting fourth is completely contingent on keeping Antoine Semenyo in that team. Yes, they've lost their whole back line. Don't worry about it. Because they have recently signed a left back from a unknown French club to myself right now, who I think is fantastic. And they have grit and spirit. And this, they obviously missed out on European football last year. Mm-hmm. So this could be the year that they charge and do something completely and utterly insane.
Yep.
And which is why I've got them in at fourth in this list. And then in third place, I am going to go for Liverpool.
Historically,
when a club spends so much money, Arne Slot, Ten Hag second season syndrome, we are not going to see the best of Liverpool. I don't think you're going to see the same Liverpool as last season.
Interesting.
I think it will work in stages. I don't think it'll be fluid across. I think they'll be very much focusing on the Champions League. I think their one centre back injury away from a bit of an issue. So yeah, who's to say? But I am saying that Liverpool are going to be finishing in third place. And then,
well, let's see, what was the chatbot going to say?
I was going up against the chatbot, but now I feel like I'm doing better. in fourth place, they unbelievably have Manchester United.
That's outrageous from the chatbot.
That is absolutely outrageous.
For two different reasons from both of us.
So low. That is unbelievable to think they would finish in such a place. That is incredible. And in third place, agreeing with me, they have Liverpool finishing in third place.
Okay.
In the league next season.
Well, that leaves the top two then.
Yeah. Go on, Cormac. Hit me with your top two.
From no surprise from anyone, I'm hoping. In second place, I have Liverpool, and that does leave Arsenal finishing top of the league.
Cool, Matt, tell me why Arsenal are going to win the league.
I think we have the most settled squad, and I think we probably have the best squad. So Liverpool have spent a lot of money, and they've obviously come off a league win where they actually ended up running away with it. Arsenal now, we have been together the longest as a team. We've only improved this summer. We haven't lost anyone key. We haven't done any of that. We have, I think, by far got the best team in terms of how well everyone knows each other, how settled we are, which is the key word here, settled.
Uh-huh.
I think defensively, we're going to be as good as we ever have been, which is probably the best keeper in the league. I'm saying that. I'm going to stand by that. The best centre-back partnership in the league. Ben White's going to be back and fit. I think people forget how key and important he is for Arsenal, especially on that right side. We're going to have Eze in the club.
Maybe. So you're finishing 12th.
Finishing 12th as he goes. But I do think Liverpool, with a bit of chop and change, won't be quite as good. Salah's a year older. Doesn't really matter, but Salah is a year older. I think we are going to, it's going to be close. That top three, I think, will be very tight. But I do think we will win the league. I think this is the year that we get it done and win the quadruple.
Wow, delusion does stink on someone.
All right, let's get rid of this delusional.
Let's get back to reality.
A bit of sanity, please.
Yeah, Taylor. A bit of sanity. So in second place, I've gone for Arsenal because I do agree with your point on being settled, but I just think you guys are chronic bottlers. And and in the mighty first place, bringing it home for the 21st league title in their history, I'm going to be going for Manchester United. And the reasons as to why I'm picking Manchester United to win the league. And I know you're all thinking, that's crazy. How could you say that a team that finished 15th in the league is going to go on to win it? Well, let me explain. Basically, Ruben Amorim has built a chemistry which we haven't had in years. We have top-level talent, young and old. Bruno Fernandes has been leading the charts in the league for chances created, expected assists for years now. He now has two Premier League proven players with extreme output.
Two?
Yeah, Mateus Cunha and Brian Mbeumo.
Yeah, sorry. No, I didn't realise two Premier League proven players win you the league.
No, but the reason why we struggled so much last season was due to our attacking output. And defensively, we're now looking very sound with two young Premier League Player of the Year nominations in Lenny Yoro and Aidan Heaven, along with Harry Maguire, who will be ready to hopefully have a fantastic season, along with Luke Shaw, who will hopefully stay fit. This is caveating that we get a goalkeeper, but I'm going to bank on that happening. I think the midfield partnership of Kobbie Mainoo and Ugarte is looking better. Do I think it's a midfield that could win the Premier League? Absolutely. And and I think that is then going to give the balance that is necessary for Brian Mbeumo, Mateus Cunha, Bruno Fernandes, and whoever we sign to complement them up front. Whether that be Rasmus Højlund or if it was to be someone else.
I think they're going to propel us on the back of the fact that we have one game a week. We have extra time on the training ground. And as a result, we are going to completely inflict the style and the passion that Ruben Amorim has shown. And it's going to drive us to a 21st Premier League title. And I'm so happy that we're back in the world of reality.
Oh, God.
Thoughts, Cormac?
I can only apologise, you guys, for not shutting up Taylor earlier in that monologue. You've got to let him sit in his world of delusion.
Well, and let him crack I think on. We all would all love to live in a world where Bournemouth finish fourth and Manchester United win the league.
A cursed reality we're in. That's pretty incredible.
And then to just go completely off-piste and see what the chatbot predicted.
Yeah, go on then.
We have Arsenal in second place.
That's a very safe bet.
And Manchester City in first place.
Wouldn't that be boring?
Completely wrong.
Yeah,
and I can't wait for the chatbot to be proven wrong and for one of us, probably me, to be proven right.
Well, there you have it, ladies and folks. The red and white chalkboard predictions for the 19-20 season. Thank God. What year are we in? 25-26 Premier League seasons. Both of them will be on the screen now for those watching, as well as the chatbot top 20. We'll revisit this at the end of the season to see how close both of us got.
Please leave your thoughts, comments. I'd love to hear how many of you agree with me. I'm sure plenty of you are listening to this and thinking, God, that guy talks unbelievable amounts of sense.
Yeah, good stuff. But another great episode. Thank you all for listening. It's been great fun. There's so much going on in the world of football. Like you said, if you let us know your predictions, if you have any, top 20 in the comments below. We have a fantasy football league that we're doing again this year, for the first time this year. All the codes and everything is in the description for that.
Also on our Twitter, if it's a bit easier.
Twitter as well, if you want to find that. Taylor, anything else to add?
Nothing other than I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We can't wait to bring you more. 2 weeks until football is truly, truly back. We're almost through preseason, and I am, for one, super excited to get this Manchester United title winning season up and running. Cormac, anything else to add?
Please like, please subscribe, please share, etc., etc. With a bunch of shorts on the channel if you can't be asked to watch a full hour of us chatting shite. It's been a pleasure as always, Taylor. Thank you very much, and we'll see you guys next time.